better to appreciate Alaska than Alaskans? And when better than now? Good morning and welcome to Talk of Alaska. I'm Steve Heimel. Last week we talked about our visitors and things they just don't get no matter how many times you try to explain it. This week, put your money where your mouth is, and maybe not that much money. Where do you want to visit in Alaska? Our number, 1-800-478-8255, toll-free. That's 478-TALK, toll-free. In Anchorage, a local call at 550-8422. Email talk at APRN.org. They call it a staycation on Talk of Alaska statewide.
Today's program is underwritten in part by
TeleAlaska, a telecommunications company proud to support public broadcasting, sharing the spirit of communications across the Great Land. Voice data and Wi-Fi technologies at TeleAlaska. On the web at telealaska.com.
Want to break your tobacco addiction? Call the Alaska Tobacco Quit Line at 1-888-842-QUIT. Register for free Quit Line counseling and nicotine replacement patches. The combined counseling and patches increase your chances of quitting for good. Trained quit coaches will help you set a quit date and send you information. Free quit services are available to all Alaskans. This message is from the Alaska Tobacco Quit Line. 1-888-842-7848.
Economists have been talking about it a long time. It's hard to keep money in the state of Alaska. Oh, I know you can save money, but what I'm talking about is the dollar circulating within the state don't go through too many hands before they go back out because so many things are shipped in. Yeah, we ship out raw materials, but we don't do much manufacturing. And so that makes the visitor industry one of our critical economic segments because that is money coming in. And then we try and keep it here for a while. This year kind of marks a hopeful maturation of the Alaska economy because our visitor industry is suffering. There's a recession going on in the lower 48, and that would be putting it mildly. People don't have the money they once had. Now, Alaska represents a dream to many people in the lower 48, but maybe it's a dream that's receding a little bit, and they're putting off their trips and so forth. There are many indicators that visitation is down. Let's check in right now with the Fairbanks Convention and Visitors Bureau. Deb Hickok joins us. Deb, how are you doing?
Good, Steve. How are you?
Oh, not too bad. So can you give me any indication as to how the season has been so far in the sunny interior?
Well, everything we know is anecdotal, but we're definitely going to be down, and we are down. It's just a matter of degree. It depends on who you talk to. There are some businesses that are saying they're 40% down, and some are saying they're 10% down. So it depends on who you talk to, but definitively we're down in the interior.
You know, it's reminding me a little bit about retail. My friends in the retail business say, well, what's become is it's not so much a recession as it is, it's become really spotty. We have slow times. We have times when it's, we can hardly keep up with the business, which is kind of to be expected in the summertime. And then we have times when it's just plain slow. And do you think spotty might characterize what you're getting up there?
No, I don't think so. I think we're going to be, not to be contrary, but I think we are going to be down in general for the whole summer. For the last few years, really had a very tight room availability throughout the week, although we did have room availability during the weekends, and now we have plenty of availability throughout the week. There's a few nights of few properties are sold out, but in general, we have availability. So I don't think it's going to be spotty. It's going to be just more consistently down.
So what do you do in Fairbanks in a case like that? Because it's, we kind of saw last winter, we saw this might be coming. We saw that, road visitation in particular might suffer and that would probably hit your part of the state. So what has the industry chosen to do? I understand there's promotions going on and like that.
Right. Yeah. Well, I guess three things. Internationally, we've been somewhat stable, particularly our key markets, Germany and Japan. So we've refocused efforts on those markets. Just in the last quarter of last year, we rehired German representation for Fairbanks and the interior specifically. So, but that said, even if we can bolster our international numbers or sustain them, that's going to not make up for the domestic loss. So, domestically, we, as a bureau, really focus on the western states and the Pacific Northwest, because those states have, for a variety of reasons. One is they have better access to Fairbanks and Alaska. Second of all, we have a lot of repeat visitation or research shows from those states. And third, they take a less amount of time to plan, so you might be able to influence some of them on season. So, for example, we're sponsoring public radio in the Seattle area, which is something we hadn't done before. We're working more closely with Alaska Airlines for promotions. And then I think thirdly, we've increased our in-state advertising. I have to say that I probably almost all the destinations in Alaska have done that. The in-state market will be hearing more and more messages from destinations throughout Alaska. And for a variety of reasons, one is that's a market that we hope that we can influence on season. And also, some of the smaller bureaus, that's basically what they do is in-state marketing. So they're just refocusing their efforts, in-state.
So we're going to start hearing those come on down, folks.
Yeah. But I think that the limitation is we're relatively small population, so we're all talking to the same people, and there's only so much amount of time that we Alaskans have. We still have our houses to paint and our gardens to grow, and I think what we're trying to do is maybe just change their habits a little more and hope that they do spend a little more time in state than they have in previous years.
Well, of course, it's a cliche about Anchorage. There's a couple of them, actually. I'll run by you.
Yeah.
This is a great city to live in because it's so close to Alaska. And the other one is, and this is, only certain Anchorage residents know this, but if it's an overcast summer in Anchorage, you can go to Fairbanks to get summer. You guys got lots of summer. It's almost like a secret, but there's some very creamy weather in the far north there.
Yeah, we're really lucky that we have some of the warmest, sunniest summer days in Alaska, and we do promote that. I don't know if you've seen or heard some of our ads, but we talk about come for the weather and stay for the fun in Fairbanks. So that's something we definitely like to capitalize to an in-state audience.
Well, what I've asked the listeners to chime in on is, where in Alaska would you like to go? Our telephone number is 1-800-478-8255, 1-800-478-TALK. We'll be checking in later on with Southeast. If you're calling from Anchorage, it's just a local call at 550-8422. My list is huge, it seems when I first got here, I had a very short list, and it's only grown in the 25-odd years that I've been here. because most of the places I went to, I want to go back, and often have. And then there's all the ones I haven't made it to yet, like take one Wood Tick Chick to get up into those upper lakes up in there. Sometimes there are the better visitor experiences in Alaska. I think you almost have to be an Alaskan to even know about.
Yeah, I think it's true, Steve, and so many of us don't take advantage of what's in our own backyard, and I think that's pretty typical for every locality in the United States. Sort of the other person's grass is greener, but we have an extraordinary opportunities in Alaska, and there is a lot of value vacations going on right now in state, and a lot of resources that in-state residents can check out.
Well, that's what I was thinking. I understand your webpage can direct people, for instance, to discounts and all that sort of thing.
We do on explorefairbanks.com. We have a value vacation section. And then the Alaska Travel Industry Association, that's travelalaska.com, they are also listing specials. Both of us have specials, from throughout the state on our websites.
And if you go and look at the facilities that are used by the cruise ship people, cruise visitation appears to be down fairly substantially, and they've got some pretty substantial specials they're offering right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Some of those attractions and activities that normally you wouldn't see discounted are possibly discounted or have availability this summer. So it's definitely worth checking out. You know, there's some of our businesses, they're small businesses and their margin of profit aren't that much, so they simply can't discount. But in past years, maybe they didn't have availability, and this year they do. So one example may be the extraordinary flight scene that you have in interior to some of the interior villages. So that only, you know, they really can't discount, but they do have availability this summer, and they're just truly wonderful experiences.
Is Fairbanks a base from which a person could do ecotourism? I know some of the German visitors I see spreading around across the state probably came in on Condor, for instance.
Yeah, the German visitors are great because their culture really values vacations, where our American culture doesn't value that as much, and so they do take longer vacations, and they've probably seen in their 5-week trips more of Alaska than most of us have seen, because they just usually rent an RV or they have a vehicle and just kind of meander around the entire state, and also often in the Yukon.
Yeah, and I was thinking, going up to the north also into the native villages that are trying to get into the ecotourism. Are you brokering any of that through your office?
Yeah, we do have a lot of Fairbanks-based flight seeing that takes people into villages in the interior in the Arctic, into Anaktuvuk Pass and Fort Yukon and Beaver, and, of course, points north to Barrow and so we have a lot of people that specialize in that. And, what our flight scene does is really truly show how the village life is today. We don't have many manufactured experiences. They are truly a look at how people live in villages today, how they use subsistence as part of their lifestyle. So you really get an up-close and personal view.
You know, that's this availability question is probably interesting to explore. I know, say, 2 years ago, all of the campers that were rentable got rented. I mean, it just maxed out, and that had been going that way for years.
Right.
You had to book them way ahead. Are you saying that there might be some available now? I mean, somebody could just maybe rent one like tomorrow?
There's a good chance. Not necessarily in Fairbanks, but possibly in Anchorage, because there is more of an inventory there. But there are opportunities available for sure.
You might have the answer to this one. I have driven the Dalton up as far as Anaktuvuk Pass. Attigan Pass.
Also, okay, yeah.
Yeah, and then basically that was as far as we could go with the time we had, so we turned around and came back. But I understand you can't actually drive to the Arctic Ocean, that what you have to do is drive to Dead Horse, and then you can get a tour there that will take you to the ocean. Is that how that works?
Right. Right. Now you can't because of what's cited as security issues. People are no longer able to drive individual cars to the Arctic Ocean, but they can hop on a tour that goes several times a day into the to the ocean.
So that might be kind of fun.
Yeah, it is. And actually, I've done it, but I've let the driving to somebody else. So a lot of these tour companies will take you all the way up. You can drive one way and then fly back, or vice versa. So, quite frankly, I think that's an enjoyable way to see it. You don't, especially on a vacation. If you really enjoy driving gravel roads for a long period of time, that's great. But most of us on a vacation just want to sit back and let somebody else take that responsibility.
So. We're talking with Deb Hickok of the Fairbanks Convention and Visitors Bureau. Our telephone number is 1-800-478-2255. That's 1-800-478-8255, 478-TALK. In Anchorage, a local call at 550-8422. Email is talk@aprn.org. And the subject is staycations. Where do you want to go in Alaska? And what's available this year? And we're hearing it's quite a lot. Let's go to Steve, joins the program from Anchorage. Welcome to Talk of Alaska, Steve.
Hi, good morning, Steve. How are you?
I'm just ducky. It's a great time to be in Alaska, as you know.
Well, yeah. Here in Anchorage, we've got lots of opportunities. I was listening to my good friend Deb talk about all the things up in Fairbanks and north, and certainly Anchorage has a lot to offer.
It's kind of the hub, the entrepot.
Right. Well, folks, you know, Anchorage is fairly well known around the world. Lots of folks come here. We kind of figure ourselves as base camp, and once they get here, they look around and take advantage of all the things in Anchorage, and then start to move on and go south and go east and sort of move around. So there's lots of great things right in the backyard for folks here who are fortunate enough to live in Alaska.
Well, is your situation similar to Fairbanks, where you're hearing there's deals out there, there's deals and discounts, and does the convention office in Anchorage?
There's definitely excess inventory, if you will.
Yeah.
And folks are putting those things on sale. We have a website, anchorage.net /Alaskans, and if you go there, you'll see all things targeted specifically to locals. A couple of things that we have going this summer, we have a program called the Gold Card Program. So if you're from not in the city, you come into Anchorage for a couple days vacation. If you go to your hotel front desk, ask them for a gold card, or come see us at the visitor center, that gold card will entitle you to special discounts, sort of insider discounts, to celebrate the 50th anniversary of statehood. So the gold card program has proven to be pretty popular. It attracts people here, and it keeps them here and gives them things to do. So I would suggest for folks that are coming in from out of the city to ask about that program, or come by and see us at the visitor center. We're happy to help you with that.
Well, as you know, I don't know if you've been to Hawaii, but this is almost an art form in Hawaii. It's called the Kama'aina rate.
Right, I'm very familiar with that.
So you're
never
saying
could get it, but I always knew what it was.
Well, sometimes you just have to ask. Don't you have a Kama'aina rate? And that means you know the lingo.
That's right. Well, and that's what we're trying to establish with this gold card program, and give something back to local folks. Because as you were talking about earlier, you know, we certainly appreciate the outside visitors coming in, because they bring fresh money to our economy, but having our local folks get out and see and learn more about what's going on certainly helps our cause to make visitors feel more welcome and understand our place.
Has the new convention center changed the business, Steve?
Yeah, the convention center has actually been a great addition to Anchorage. We're very pleased with how that's come off. We do for our members each month, we do a luncheon for them, and typically we do it either in the Egan Center or the Dedina Center. As things would happen in July, we have a big enough convention that we're using both buildings, and so we actually got displaced from our own building. So I think that's indicative of kind of what's coming down the road. You know, most conventions are planned many years in advance, so it'll take a while, but there are folks out there that are discovering us and coming our way. So we're very happy with that.
Well, thanks for calling, Steve.
Yeah, thanks for having me. And folks, go to anchorage.net, /Alaskans. Lots of good things for folks locally.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Thanks.
And
have a
good day. Bye. Fairbanks also has one, HTTP, so forth.
ExploreFairbanks.com. And actually, if you want to get right to the value vacations, you do /value-vacations.
Uh-huh. Let's go to Michelle joins the program from Willow. Welcome to Talk of Alaska, Michelle.
Good morning. If someone's going to take the time and money to put gas in the car and wants to go for a nice little drive, I have to recommend the westernmost reachable beach by road at Anchor Point as a nice place to kind of get away from all the touristas, if you can time it when all the fishermen leave the river there.
Uh-huh.
Beautiful little spot.
Wow, yeah, I think I know just where you're talking about. Yeah. Yeah, I like that one. Thank you. You got more?
Kodiak.
What's that?
I said, if you want to venture a little further and spend a little bit more, take the ferry or an airplane and go to Kodiak.
Yeah, we're going to get into ferry talk in a little bit, too. So, yeah, thank you. We'll probably get some calls from Kodiak on that one.
Fantastic. Have a good day now.
All right, Michelle and Willow, thank you. You know, it's not too shabby going up the road from Willow to Hatcher Pass either. Let's go to Marilyn, joins the program from Petersburg. Welcome to Talk of Alaska, Marilyn.
Hi, Steve. Thanks for having this program.
My pleasure.
Go ahead.
I just said my pleasure.
Okay, so I'm calling because I work at the Visitor Center in Petersburg, and we're in the heart of Southeast Alaska. And I would like to invite people from the northern part of the state to visit Southeast, Petersburg in particular. And there's, you know, different ways you can do it. One is to drive to Haines and then ride the ferry system. Or you can fly straight here in Alaska Airlines. But if you ride the ferry system, that would help maybe people from the northern part of the state understand how important the ferry system is to us because it is our road system here in Southeast Alaska. And we really depend on it, and so do the tourists, because a majority of the tourists that travel to the northern part of the state travel at least one way on the ferry system during their travels through our state.
Marilyn, have we already missed Little Norway this year?
We did miss Little Norway, but we have a great 4th of July, which is this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
And we have two other things that happen that are, I think is one of as big. It's called Rain Country Quilter Camp, and that's where we have a national quilt instructor come in. And then in September, we have the Tongass Rainforest Festival. And that is September 10th through the 13th.
Oh, wow.
And that's about what you can make and use from the Tongass and learning about, like, mushrooms and berries and then also, like, cooking contests and things like that.
You know, I think sooner or later the secret's going to be out about the mushrooms in Alaska. That, you know, and seriously, I think we may be one of the great mushroom places in the world here, and people don't realize it yet.
There's especially in Southeast with with all of our wet, and then it gets warm, and anyway, so we would really like to encourage people to come down and visit us. And if you come to Petersburg, we have the humpback whales out in Frederick Sound that are really popular to see, and. So it's a great place to visit.
Great. Well, it's good to hear from you, Marilyn, and we're going to be in touch with Dave Berg in a little bit, too, from down that way, who has basically got the the Alaska Ferry email ID.
Right. And also, if people want more information about Petersburg, they can go to petersburg.org, and that way they can also then contact me if they need more information.
So what's accommodations like in that town? Is there a hotel, B&Bs?
We have two hotels, and we have numerous B&Bs, and we have charter boats that go out fishing, and there's also, like I said, the humpback whales. We also have LeConte Glacier, which is the furthest south active saltwater terminus in the North America.
Ah.
So that's like... about 45 minutes from town by boat, and then you can go on jet boats or regular boats. You can go over there and kayak. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, you know, I've never seen your town, but I picture it as being pretty with the Norwegian painting
and
so forth.
You need to visit.
Oh, absolutely. I'm dying to.
Well, good.
Yeah.
And we don't get the large cruise ships, so we do have a different flavor from other some of the bigger towns in Southeast. We are a working town of with a big fishing fleet. We have three canneries that work year-round here, and in the summer, of course, when the run hits, we have a lot of extra workers in town and boats. So it's a kind of a thriving community that's fun for tourists and people from the north to come see how we live and just get the flavor of the town.
Now, you have, two processing plants there?
We actually have three.
Okay. I am wondering if it's actually possible, if I were to be there and staying in a B&B and the season was right, if it would be possible for me to get onto the dock and buy a salmon from a fisherman.
Yeah, you can do that. Actually, there's a boat that does sell from their boat down. They go out, and it's, when they come in, like Wednesday or Thursday, they sell from their boat.
Oh, Alaska. So how long have you been in Alaska?
Since 1959.
Oh, my. So you've been here as long as it's been a state.
I have.
Are there places? Are there places you haven't been that you want to go?
Actually, there are. I have not been to the interior. I've been crab fishing out in the Bering Sea, so I've been out into the Aleutians. So the interior is where I have not been. I've been to Anchorage and along the coast, Kodiak. So I still have places to see also.
There is so much of it.
Yes, and also up further north, like Barrow, that would be really cool to see.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Marilyn.
Well, thanks for the show, Steve, and I'll be listening.
It's our pleasure. It's great to just be talking about Alaska. We did it last week. We're doing it again this week. Let's go to Tina, joins the program from Homer. Welcome to Talk of Alaska, Tina.
Good morning, Steve.
How are you?
Oh, I'm terrific. It's hard not to be on a day like today here in Homer.
It's so nice down there?
It's gorgeous down here today. We've had some spectacular days over the last, pretty much since last weekend.
When's the next big low tide, do you know?
You know, that is a really, really good question. We just had one 2 nights ago, and it was a -5.
Oh, yeah.
I will grab my book and take a look at it and let you know before we finish talking today.
All right. Well, of course, Homer's known for the spit.
We are known for the spit, but we're known for so many other things. I mean, the spit certainly is a huge attraction here because it's a natural spit about 5 miles long that goes out into Ketchumak Bay.
I think, Tina, at this point we have to say semi-natural because they keep shoring it up.
You're right. Okay, the city keeps adding to it to protect. Yeah, we keep adding rocks to it. But it started out as a natural spit. It really is.
Yep. Oh, it's an amazing piece of geography.
Where halibut fishing takes place.
Let's get into that because this may be the best place to halibut charter out of, even though you have to go out a ways.
You have to go out a little ways. But this year in particular, and I think it's because of the economy, we're seeing a lot more of the charter operators offering half day charters. So you don't get to fish as long, but you still get a nice day out in the bay. You typically leave about 7 in the morning and return about noon. But the full-day charters will take you out to the Barren Islands. And just I guess it was Friday of last week, we had a local guy bring in a 354-pound halibut. So right now he is our big leader. In fact, he surpassed last year's Halibut Derby winner. And the Derby's going on, of course, all summer down here. So, but kingfishing in the harbor in the bay is really, really good too. So, they're doing kingfishing and lingcod and halibut.
Yeah, well, that notorious snag fishery, is that happening now? Didn't that usually happen around the 4th of July? Doesn't it?
Right. In some of the designated areas, and I would just ask folks to go on to Fish and Game or give them a call or give us a call and we can give them some specific spots. And I was looking at the tide book.
Thank you.
It looks like our next real low minus tide, which is a -5.2, is next Thursday. So, but our minus tides start coming in on two. So right after the 4th of July weekend, we see a -3, -4, -5, and on up.
Yeah.
Next weekend. So it'd be great for clamming.
Yeah. And I was just for looking at the water and all the stuff that you can only see when the tide gets down, if you're on the water, I will never forget that.
Oh, it is spectacular. You know, there's a beautiful place here right before you get out onto the spit. We call it Bishop's Beach. And you can go out there and do some great tide pooling and clamming. And you can actually go out and, you know, have a picnic and a little barbecue and have a fire pit and it's just spectacular. And the horses are out there today. I was coming into work, and I was looking down at Bishop's Beach, and the horses were running along the beach.
Huh.
So it's really a beautiful place to come, and there's so much to do here.
Homer is sort of a year-round destination, don't you manage to?
It is. We're almost as busy in the wintertime as we are in the summer, just with, you know, different outdoor recreational opportunities, but it's really, for me, it's unique. I've only been here in Homer for about 3 years, but in the state since 1980. And it's really a transition. Memorial Weekend, our little community just of Homer has about 5,400 people. But after Memorial Weekend, we expand to about 25,000. And it seems like just overnight, It's pretty incredible.
Yeah, you know, and if you live there, this is when you're going to be making your money. So there it is, gorgeous, and you got to work.
Well, and we have just because of everything that's going on, we're really trying to support our businesses here. So they're offering all kinds of deals here in Homer, all the different accommodations and fishing charters and dining and, you know, trips across the bay to Halibut Cove. That's another spectacular thing to do.
Well, where's your where's a contact for that? Can they do a website? Or
they can do a website. Folks can go to homer2009.org.
Okay.
And they can find there all the different specials that are going on all summer long.
All right. Well, thank you, Tina.
Yeah, thank you, Steve.
All right. The enormous state of Alaska. This is a statewide call-in show, so any destination is connected up right now. People are listening all across the state of Alaska. It's a unique radio show, and it's fun to get on here and just talk about Alaska sometimes. 1-800-478-8255, 1-800-478-TALK. Where in Alaska would you like to go? Maybe that you've never been, or maybe that you'd like to return to, like we heard about Anchor Point, as Talk of Alaska continues.
Talk of Alaska comes to you from APRN, the Alaska Public Radio Network, and is made possible with support from ConocoPhillips, Alaska's oil and gas company. In today's competitive business climate, the advantage lies in reducing cost and increasing efficiencies. A safe and healthy workplace reduces cost and improves productivity. To get started, contact the Alaska Department of Labor and Workforce Development's Occupational Safety and Health Consultation and Training Program at 1-800-656-4972. Good, safe jobs are Alaska's future. This message is sponsored by the Alaska Department of Labor and Workforce Development.
Seeing the state, keeping our dollars within the state. We're talking about Alaskans seeing Alaska today on Talk of Alaska statewide. And just think of all the many reasons why Alaskans are the best clients for the travel industry. For one thing, they're close. For another thing, they tend to have more realistic expectations. There's certain kind of sticker shock that hits your outside traveler that Alaskans, we're accustomed to that sticker shock. And we also know about things like getting weathered out and weathered in. And we understand the importance of gear. And most of us have the gear that we need for whatever this thing is that we need to do. Maybe even crampons. Let's check in with Petersburg now. Dave Berg joins us from Viking Travel at Petersburg. Hello, Dave. How are you doing?
Good morning, Steve. How are you doing?
Oh, I am I'm having a ball. It's always
great.
Always uplifting to do Talk of Alaska. So tell me, Dave, your Viking Travel is basically brokering, I guess, travel throughout the state, and you actually have managed to get a website that just says Alaska Ferry?
Yes, alaskaferry.com is something we started. Nancy and I opened Viking Travel here in Petersburg in 1981, and we just realized from the start that Petersburg had air service and the ferries going by, and so we established a relationship with the ferry system and being able to make reservations and do ticketing for them, and we've been in a kind of unique experience, unique situation with them, and having an actual connection to making reservations and such. And that's evolved over the years, but we still do a lot of ferry business, and planning business travel, vacations, and visit friends and relatives, trips for locals here.
You know, it's been so, in that length of time, you've watched your industry change a great deal. It used to be that you could make most of your money off of the air carriers because they would pay you to get customers for them. All that's gone by the wayside. You guys seem to really have to work a lot harder and basically know who your customers are more now.
Well, certainly. Then what you're speaking of is airline commissions, which have gone away on a large extent. And fortunately, we still have a great relationship with a lot of our vendors, local operators all around the state that still pay a commission or referral fee for our having including them in our programs or and are recommending some of the things that we do.
That's how you're going to make your money.
Sure. And actually, the internet has somewhat helped us too, because it's allowed us to communicate with people even more so. But a lot of times, people will buy a ticket using the internet, and we end up hearing about it later on because they've got into a situation where they bought two tickets and they don't match up. You know, they arrive in Seattle after their flight to New York leaves. And so they ask us to bail us out, bail them out if we can. And we've been able to, search and find other deals too, using the internet. So it's actually expanded our opportunities and our way to handle individual travelers.
Yeah. And you obviously, I could just tell by the way you talk, you're quite an entrepreneur, and it sounds like you kind of enjoy this, this adapting, troubleshooting for people, matching up the client with the vendor and so forth.
Yeah, it is fun. Planning FITs with these fully inclusive tours that we call them, which include transportation, lodging, meals, and activities. It's kind of a unique situation because it's something different every time. You know, the days are different. The ferry, using the ferry is different. Changes happen along the way. And I grew up in Seattle in the steamship industry, and I kind of liken the two because there's always another challenge that comes up that you need to approach with an open mind and being able to solve for someone. We did a wedding for some folks that wanted to get married in Alaska, and Nancy, my wife and partner here at Viking Travel, said yes, we could do this, and she came up with an idea that we would go out onto a glacier. We flew out on a helicopter to Patterson Glacier here using Temsco here in Petersburg. We asked the local magistrate if she would go, and she didn't want to because of some personal reasons, and so I obtained a magistrate's license for the day to be able to perform this marriage ceremony. So we went up there. My brother happened to be in town. He came along as the photographer, and Nancy made up some got some rose mulled champagne goblets. And because of the FAA regulations, we couldn't bring champagne along, and the pilot didn't want it on board. So we had some sparkling soda, sparkling cider. But we had a nice little wedding cake and set it up on the glacier and took some pictures. And these people still talk about it.
Fully inclusive. That's definitely fully inclusive. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So we rarely say no.
Yeah. And you're trying to basically, it's all over the state, but you kind of are specializing in Southeast, right?
Well, we do. Nancy and I started up in Valdez at Copper Spike Travel up there. And when people wanted to go to Southeast, it was, oh my gosh, look at, where do they want to go? And we'd have to pull out the OAG, the maps and the travel guides, and nothing was on computer by then, back then. And so we basically had to learn kind of from the seat of our pants how travel in Southeast Alaska worked. And so now, people look at the ferry schedule and they go, this won't work for us. So we come up with alternatives. You travel around Southeast and you get to Petersburg. Well, how do you get to Wrangell? Well, you take a small plane over there, and while you're making that transfer between the two cities, you go via LeConte Glacier and get a nice air view, glacier flight seeing trip out of your transportation. And so you kind of kill two birds with one stone. And so we look at all options like that everywhere we go, and there are options out there using small carriers, and it doesn't really cost that much more than the ferry when you consider that you may not have to have a stateroom that night, or you get a bonus like flight seeing to the glacier out of that transportation.
So you also do fishing?
Oh yeah, yeah. I heard Marilyn talk about it earlier. We're looking at expanding the packages that we're doing through a partnership that we've got with Alaska Airlines and a new travel agency we're starting here in Petersburg called Viking Tours, which is just going to be doing wholesale packaging of trips. And one of those trips that we're looking at doing is to send people out on a commercial fishing boat as a crewman. And typically crew on fishing boats get paid for what they do, but sometimes when they're in the learning process, they actually pay the skipper of the boat, and so they can go out as a crewman on a boat and pay for the privilege of doing so and learning about the fishing industry.
Oh, ecotourism, that.
Yeah, and you know, there's all over the country people are looking at the ability to, you know, see where their fish is coming from and knowing a little bit more about it. And you hear about that, you know, guys were talking about it as chefs came through Petersburg last week, that, you know, people ask for, you know, Copper River Reds or you know, Alaska Wild Salmon, and they want to see where it's coming from. And so, yeah, the opportunity is out there to expand into this, you know, type of business too.
Boy, that is real entrepreneurship. Let's switch back to Deb. Are you still with us up in Fairbanks?
I am. I was wondering, if I should still be.
Oh,
absolutely. Hey,
good. How are you?
I'm great. Great. Thank you.
Good.
Yeah. I was.
Hey, Steve. What I was thinking while everybody was talking, you know, all of the chambers and CVBs that have visitor centers are really experts around the state too. So, we have visitor guides from throughout the state here at our visitor center in the Morris Thompson Cultural and Visitor Center in downtown Fairbanks. So just to keep in mind that a lot of us have information from around the state, and it's a good resource.
Yeah.
Well, Deb, you guys are a godsend. We rely on visitor centers like yourself or Convention and Visitors Bureau to provide us with information and you know, about the things to do, and one of the kind of custom things that we do with our clients with these FITs is to send them a packet of visitor information that they're going to be able to do along the way. You know, not just an itinerary that says, okay, well, this is what we've arranged for you, but also you know, a visitor guide that says, you know, okay, this is what Fairbanks says is available, or Wrangell or Petersburg, or, you know, and so we put in city maps and you guys, by providing that information, it's a great resource for us too.
Well, Deb, I wanted to ask you if you have the equivalent of what Dave is trying to do here. I mean, he's highly entrepreneurial, and he's kind of doing a custom packages for people, and really trying to roll up his sleeves and work with the clients individually.
Absolutely. We have travel agencies here that do that, and they're telling me that more and more people are depending on their services, not only in-state residents, but you know, people from outside. There's such a mystique about Alaska that researchers show that people think it's hard to plan a trip to Alaska, and it takes time. So their ability to package and to take that mystique out for people and give them a comfort level about traveling around our state has just been great, and it's actually expanding.
Well, Dave, what can you do for a local in Petersburg? In other words, as you said, you know, somebody looking at the ferry schedule and trying to figure out, well, I need to get to Wrangell, isn't necessarily going to know about the local planes. But, of course, a local's going to know all of that stuff. We're talking about Alaskans seeing Alaska. How do you pitch, say, to a Petersburg resident for a travel experience?
Well, we ask, you know, A, how much time they've got, because, you know, that's certainly a factor in being able to explore Southeast Alaska, you know, and come up with maybe a 5-day package with them that they would get on the ferry and go up to Juneau and maybe take the time to go out to Tracy Arm or visit the Mendenhall Glacier Visitor Center, get on the ferry and go up to Skagway. Visit you know, the Dyea area, you know, ride the railroad, explore the gold rush history of Skagway, and then get back on the ferry and come back to Petersburg.
It's working. It's already working for me. I'm ready.
Yeah. Well, you know, we get a fair amount of calls from people in the state that want to come down and visit Southeast. I can think of a couple of trips. One I planned for two in one summer. where a woman from Anchorage planned a trip to come down to Southeast Alaska, and she did so in June, and then came back again in August with her family, kind of an extended family. And we did something different. Some of the things we did were the same, but we did some different things with her too, and so. We are getting calls from within the state and from locals, say, for instance, in Juneau, that just want to come down to Petersburg and go whale watching, or, you know, while they're here, explore maybe the Ann Ann Bear Observatory out there, you know, southeast of Petersburg and Wrangell.
Yeah.
And also maybe even go up the Stikine River, next to Petersburg. Between Petersburg and Wrangell, it's the fastest navigable river in North America. And there's jet boat tours that are offered up there to Telegraph Creek up into BC, and you can make a 3 or 4 day package out of that too.
All right, we're talking to Dave Berg of Viking Travel in Petersburg, and Deb Hickok of the Fairbanks Convention and Visitors Bureau, and you on Talk of Alaska, 1-800-478-8255. In Anchorage, a local call at 550-8422. And email, silent so far, but email is talk@aprn.org. Now here's the call that steers the show in a whole other direction and could possibly make the whole rest of the show, because we're about to broach the issue of picking berries. Janet in Kodiak, welcome to Talk of Alaska.
Hi, thanks. Yes, we are anticipating a great berry season this year. We've had lots of sunshine followed by a day of rain and then more sunshine, and the salmon berries are loaded with blossoms. And what better way to spend summer than to come down and pick some berries and catch some fish and watch some whales and enjoy Kodiak.
Well, tell me how it works there. You basically got one, you got your villages, which I think are not connected by road. So you're talking a skiff, probably a little heavier boat than that to get to them, right? Or flying.
Generally, folks fly to the villages. We have quite a few planes that service the villages, so it's fairly easy to get out. And it's generally not much more than a half hour flight to any of the villages. And they are fascinating to visit. Great fishing in many of the villages. Old Harbor is known for their giant king salmon. They're always winning the king salmon derby at Old Harbor. And Yuzinki has boat charters there that folks can go to. And Larsen Bay, of course, is also known for great fishing.
So is there berry picking right in town, just out of town, out the road a ways, down by the airport? Where are the berries?
Everywhere.
I knew you were going to say that.
They are everywhere this year. You can, right in town, you can easily go pick berries on any of the pathways around town. People go into Fort Abercrombie State Park and pick blueberries. Let's not forget the blueberries.
Well, when are they going to be ripe? I mean, I've been inspecting our berries in the hills up above Anchorage here, and it's going to be a while.
Yes, it's a full on summer activity, probably August or September. I can't remember now last year when they were ripe, but right now they're blooming. And they're loaded, and some of the berries are even beginning to form, but it'll be deep into August before you want to start picking those big berries.
Well, Janet, I'm really happy to hear from Kodiak. Thanks for your call.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
We're talking about Alaskans visiting Alaska as Talk of Alaska continues.
Talk of Alaska comes to you from APRN, the Alaska Public Radio Network, and is made possible with support from BP Alaska. BP, where training Alaska's future workforce is a priority. The Alaska Comprehensive Health Insurance Association was created by the legislature to provide coverage for Alaskans who are denied health insurance due to a high-risk medical condition. For example, a person who has diabetes and has been rejected by an insurance company will be accepted by ACHIA. Ask an insurance broker about ACHIA. Information is also available at www.achia.com. This message sponsored by the Alaska Comprehensive Health Insurance Association.
Staycations, they call it, or getaways. Hotels have been doing it for years. Advertising to the locals saying, hey, why don't you just make like you're in another city and go down the street and get the hotel room and have yourself a bit of a getaway holiday. Maybe not even leave the hotel room. It's been known to happen. But now this concept has kind of expanded, and there's all sorts of special deals being offered because this is a bit of a slack tourism season in Alaska, at least spotty. And we're seeing a whole lot of deals being offered. So we thought we'd open up the show to discuss some of the deals that can be gotten and to entice Alaskans maybe to do a little bit more of seeing of Alaska. We're getting a lot of calls from communities say, hey, how about our town? And I'm not hearing too much from people who are calling with the question that I put out at the beginning. Where in Alaska have you not been that you'd like to be, or where would you like to return to as an Alaskan? Let's go to Carl, joins the program from Bethel. Welcome to Talk of Alaska, Carl. Hello, Carl. We must have lost him. Well, he was holding for quite a while. Thank you.
Steve. Speaking of opportunities, I know that the Wrangell Convention and Visitors Bureau put out a little discount coupon book worth over $2,000 worth of discounts for people that visit Wrangell.
Wow!
And that's just one of the offerings I think that they're doing to try to encourage people to come to Wrangell this summer for that. And I know it's available through their WrangellAlaska.org. Website.
Oh, well, thanks for promoting Wrangell there. And we also heard that Anchorage has got this gold statehood program going on, the Convention and Visitors Bureau. And let's go to Petersburg again. Kathy, welcome to Talk of Alaska.
Hi. Thanks a lot for having me, Steve. And some of the things I wanted to say was, you know, we're down here in Southeast Alaska, and when people hear Alaska, they think about the interior. I mean, you see it on blogs and travel news and everything. People think about the interior. And the small communities, like down here in Southeast Alaska, we don't always have the budget like the convention and visitor bureaus do up in Anchorage and Fairbanks. So I think the members of the community, the businesses, but also the individuals, need to really work hard at being ambassadors for our own communities. We need to talk it up. We need to invite our friends and our families from other parts of the state besides just from the outside, you know, the lower 48. And it's kind of interesting. Petersburg used to brag about being the best-kept secret. And now we would kind of like to get the word out that we really don't want it to be a secret. we really, truly have a beautiful spot. Especially this, you should see it down here. This, we've had all that sunshine and beautiful weather, and then we had a little bit of rain. And like I heard the lady in Kodiak saying, a little bit of sun, a little bit of rain. It is lush down here. It is just absolutely beautiful. And it's an amazing spot, and like I heard Marilyn talk about glaciers and Dave talk about whales, and we have some amazing little world-class activities that are just at our doorstep. And besides being ambassadors, the locals need to take advantage of these little amazing activities, and I think locals in every community need to treat themselves to a tour within their own community. I just wanted to share, like, my husband and I, we've been in the visitor industry ourselves for about 18 years, and at the end of the season last year, we were wiped out, and so we put our kayaks and our bikes in our pickup, and we drove 12 miles, because you can't drive too far around here, but we drove 12 miles and stayed at a little place south of town, a little cottage, and just to be away from our own home for a few days. We did our kayaking, we rode our bikes, we hiked, we picked berries. We had probably one of the best little vacations that we've had in a long, long time, and we didn't even have to leave the island. So it was just really, really wonderful. So,
yeah, Kathy, thanks. I feel much the same way. We like to go right after it freezes up on the Denali Highway around Tango Lakes, go out there and just pick berries and camp.
Yeah, so it does surprise me, though, at how much the locals don't even know of what kinds of things there are to do around here and how to even sell our community. But I've volunteered with the Petersburg Visitor Information Center, and we came up with an addition to our website, and it's called, you can link to it on our homepage, and it's called Destination Petersburg. And we've come up with several 3 or 4 day itineraries and 6 and 7 day itineraries that have lists of all the things you can do in Petersburg, including just renting a car and driving to all of our wonderful trail systems. But it's not a package tour, and it's an independent traveler could do it and then contact the local businesses on the website, or else they could go to the travel agent. They could go to Dave, and they could say, hey, I saw this list on the Petersburg Chamber website. Can you fit me into all of these activities? So it's just a great little list that helps people to organize their tour, because sometimes we get people, visitors, that come here and they say, what are we going to do now that we're here? And they don't realize it, that they needed to make their reservations for, you know, a lot of tours and a car several months in advance.
Yeah. Well, I say put on your boots. Yeah, Kathy.
Exactly.
Thank you. Thank you very much for your call from Petersburg. Let's go one more call here from Lisa in Anchorage. Welcome to Talk of Alaska, Lisa.
Oh, thanks, Steve. Great program. Nice to hear all these other options we have up here.
Yeah.
Yes, and I would like to say that the place I've been to that I like to go again is the loop through the Whittier Ferry through up to Valdez, and then drive up there towards the Wrangells and slip into McCarthy or the Kennecott Mine, and of course bring your extra tires if you're going to drive that road, and then back loop up through Glen Allen down to Anchorage. It takes about a week, and you get several different terrains that you pass through.
Oh, you get that gorgeous Richardson Highway Drive, yeah.
Oh, the waterfalls, and then camp in Valdez, or stay in a posh hotel if you want.
Posh. That's a relative term in Valdez. Okay, thank you. Thank you,
okay.
Lisa.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much. Dave, why don't you tell us a little bit about the more on this ferry thing. We get about 30 seconds here.
Just something that a couple of ladies here, I know, heard someone mention a quilt camp earlier, and, you know, a meeting aboard the ferry works, too, for somebody. You know, if you got on, for instance, in Petersburg or just anywhere along the way, you can take the ferry from, say, down from Petersburg through Wrangell to Ketchikan, hop off there while the ferry goes down to Prince Rupert and back. You can have a overnight in Ketchikan and then get back on the ferry. And they allow you to set up your sewing machines and quilt or have a little meeting on board. And, the ferry system is real accommodating in that respect and rather inexpensive to do, too.
All right. Well, thank you very much. And Deb Hickok, what's tops on your list that you haven't done in your region yet?
Oh, gosh. You know, I was just thinking, listening to all these callers, it's going to be a beautiful, sunny weekend here in Fairbanks. I'm taking 5 days off, and guess what I'm doing?
Fishing.
I'm painting the interior of my house.
Oh!
So I'm ready. I'm going to make time to go to the Fountainhead Antique Auto Museum. There's 50 cars on displays from 1898.
Wow.
And it's a brand new attraction in Fairbanks, and I only saw it in the construction stage. So unbeknownst to my daughter, that's one of the things
we're going to do.
We're going to stop painting and go to that.
Thank you, you guys. Seeing Alaska. Gooseberry Peter on the controls. Len Anderson, Patty Ack on the phones. I'm Steve Heimel. Thanks for listening.
Talk of Alaska is made possible by this member station of the Alaska Public Radio Network, by First National Bank Alaska, working shoulder to shoulder with Alaskan businesses for nearly a century. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Want to break your tobacco addiction? Call the Alaska Tobacco Quit Line at 1-888-842-QUIT. Register for free Quit Line counseling and nicotine replacement patches. The combined counseling and patches increase your chances of quitting for good. Trained quit coaches will help you set a quit date and send you information. Free quit services are available to all Alaskans. This message is from the Alaska Tobacco Quit Line, 1-888-842-7848. Views expressed on this program are those of the participants and not necessarily those of APRN, this station, or its underwriters. Today's program is available online at aprn.org. CD copies are available by calling 550-8400.
This is APRN, the Alaska Public Radio Network.